is the Cloud Cop Podcast, your launchpad for Amazon Web Services.
Welcome to the Cloudonaut Podcast. My name is Michael.
And my name is Andreas.
We are brothers and freelancers focusing on Amazon Web Services. We do technical coaching, for example, for teams that start their journey with AWS. And infrastructure bootstrapping, typically based on our infrastructure's code templates for our clients worldwide. Every month, we discuss a topic related to AWS here in the podcast. One of us prepares the topic, which is not known to the other one. So, Andreas, what's the subject today?
Michael, today I want to talk about a non-technical topic. I want to talk about AWS certifications. And I've come up with a list of five good reasons to not get AWS certified.
Okay, I see. So that seems to be a controversial topic, Andreas. So this is episode number 38, and we are recording this on February the 16th. But before we start, here's a short announcement.
Cloudonaut Plus is our offering that allows you to get access to exclusive videos and online events. Every week, we share a new video with our subscribers. And this week's video that we will publish tomorrow is about Route 53 and DNSSEC. So the topic is how to secure the DNS, the heart of the internet. And this is what this video will be about. So we will discuss how to enable DNSSEC with Route 53 and also why DNSSEC is important. Subscribe to Cloudonaut Plus today. You will find all relevant information in the show notes. Check that out.
All right, Andreas, that sounds great. So if you're interested in some deep dives on AWS topics, or if you're just interested in staying up to date with the AWS world, then Cloudonaut Plus is exactly what you're looking for. So Andreas, let's switch to our topic. And I think before we start, so I have one question for you, which is a little bit unusual because you haven't already started preparing something, but when did you complete your first AWS certification? Can you remember that?
So I think it was in 2014 when I did my first certification, the AWS Solution Architect Associate. And so I think this was the first time I got certified. Do you remember your first AWS certification, Michael?
I actually don't remember it, but the only
probably
thing
about the same time.
Yes, but I'm not. Yeah, maybe 1 year later or a couple of months later. So the only thing that I remember is that I completed. At this time, there were five different certifications, so I completed all five of them, and it was really annoying because they expired every year. I think at the beginning, and then they switched to every 2 years, and I don't know how the expiration is handled these days. But yeah, it was really a lot of work. To also keep them like from not expiring.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so yeah, exactly. So I think we started with the associate ones, and then we did the professional certificates as well. And yeah, that was all at the beginning, actually. So yeah, so Michael, the discussion about getting AWS certified. So how does it look nowadays? Maybe a short recap. So nowadays we have still the three associate level certifications that you can use to basically prove you have basic knowledge about AWS. So there's Solution Architect, SysOp Administrator, and Developer Associate certificates. And then you have two professional level certificates. And the idea behind those is AWS says those are certificates for professionals that have 2 years of experience. So this is the Solution Architect and the DevOps Engineer Professional Certificates. And besides that, AWS added, I think it's now six speciality certifications. So for example, Advanced Networking, Security, and so on. And also there is a certificate for beginners, which is called Cloud Practitioner. So this is so that you know about the basics of AWS. It's also intended, I think, for non-technical professionals, for example, for marketing and sales and stuff like that. So I think it's just to get a basic understanding about the fundamentals of AWS. So there, to summarize that, nowadays there are a lot of certifications. And I think when I'm when I'm reading in the community and see what others are posting about, I think you can find, I looked it up in Google, you can find hundreds of blog posts that tell you why it's a good idea to get AWS certified. And I think there are definitely reasons for doing so. But what I want to bring to discussion is there are also reasons not to get AWS certified, in my opinion. And that's the topic I want to discuss now. So I don't want to say that AWS certificates are useless or that it's not, that it's completely nonsense or something like that. I do not want to offend anyone. But I think it's worth to add also those arguments to the discussion when it comes to, is it worth to get AWS certified? What do you think about that, Michael?
Yeah, I think that that makes sense. And maybe we can also add this information that, that both of us, you and me, we decided, I think last year or the year before, to not kind of renew our certificate. So we, I don't actually know if I'm still certified. I think most of them are expired, maybe all of them. So yeah, that's maybe interesting as well to add at the beginning here.
Yeah, so that's also good to know. Yeah, so it was at the beginning of 2020 when we decided that we will no longer renew our certifications. And I think that's something that, that you need to know as well. So we are a little bit biased, of course. So that's our view of the world. But maybe it's interesting to have look into these arguments as well. Okay, so let's get started. So my first reason, my first argument for not getting AWS certified is that this is really a race to the bottom. So at the beginning, so in 2014, when I did my first certification, there were only very few people that hold these certifications, right? But of course, over the years, more and more people are getting trained and getting certified. I stumbled upon an announcement a few weeks ago where Amazon announced that they will help to train about 29 million people around the world to grow their tech skills. So basically what they mean, they want to train them how to use AWS. And also one of their goals is that they get AWS certified as well. So if you think about that, probably then you have about 30 million or something like that people with an AWS certification. So you are not really the only one that is doing that. So in my opinion, it's really a race to the bottom, because at the end, an AWS certification will not really distinguish you from your peers anymore. So I think that is a good argument to maybe look for something else that you can do to showcase experience or to distinguish yourself from the other professionals.
Yeah, that makes sense. So maybe I have to add two thoughts here. So first, this also depends a little bit on your kind of way of working. So for example, if you are a freelancer, then that looks a little bit different than, because you are definitely competing with other folks. And if the only differentiator is that you have a certification that also 29 million people on the planet have, that might live in countries where the cost of living is just significantly lower than yours, then you are kind of in problems. If you work in a large enterprise, you basically only compete against your own, like basically with your coworkers, then that might look a little bit different. But yeah, keep that in mind. If you are a freelancer, then this definitely applies. And my second thought was about the race to the bottom. I'm not sure if everyone is really familiar with that picture. So race to the bottom basically means that you compete with people that you cannot compete with. For example, because they live in other countries where the living costs are just significantly lower. And it's like, if you're familiar with platforms like Fiverr.com, where basically everyone can offer very standardized products or services, and then you will never make the lowest price if you live in a country where, like the US, or also like we live in Germany. So it's not possible to compete with someone who lives in a country where you pay 1/10 of the rent that you have to pay in Germany, for example. So yeah, keep that in mind. And that's kind of what Andreas, I think, has in mind when he talks about race to the bottom.
So I think race to the bottom is really when the market really gets more and more competitive, and if when margins and prices are falling, so then I think you are in such a race to the bottom. And the problem with that is, if only the price basically differentiates, then yeah, it's hard. It's hard to make a living out of that. So you can see that from airline business or something like that, where really the price is the only argument. So that is why I think this is a good argument to not really focus too much on those AWS certifications, because in the long run, I think that's not a very good game to play.
Yeah, at least not for you. This probably is another blog post, Andreas. I think AWS launched this platform. It's called Amazon or AWS IQ, where you basically can offer your skills at the lowest possible hourly rate, competing against the whole world. Yeah, so those are definitely platforms where the race to the bottom can be observed from the outside, and you don't want to be in that game. So now, Andreas, I think you have some ideas how you can fix that problem. So how can we avoid the race to the bottom? So what's possible besides certifications to prove that we are knowledgeable in the AWS world?
So let me proceed with my next reason to not get AWS certified. I think instead of getting AWS certified, instead of getting a certificate, I have the following opinion. So whenever I'm involved into hiring a freelancer or employee, I look for showcase of the applicant's work. So I think it's much more interesting for me to find out how really the experience level and the attitude and the style of working is when I can look at some work results from a person. So that could be having a look at a GitHub repository, or having a look at, I don't know, a video demo that someone recorded and published to YouTube, or if someone writes blog posts about technical details and solutions that he or she found to solve that problem and documented that in a blog post. So I think those are things that, from my point of view, help much more to find out about a person that you want to hire for as a freelancer or employee compared to a certificate. Because I think, of course, a certificate makes sure that that someone has a certain level of knowledge. But I think if someone is able to really put that knowledge into action, is something different, and it doesn't really tell you much about that. Basically, all the certification tells you is someone was capable of going through that multiple choice test, right? So I think that is, of course, this is a hint, but I think it's not really, don't give you that much information. So that is why my idea is, or my recommendation is, instead of getting AWS certified, put that effort into showcasing your skills that you acquire while starting your journey into the cloud. So for example, if you're starting right now, so if you haven't done anything on AWS, if you do not know basically anything about AWS, then start your journey, learn about AWS, and for example, document what you're learning in a blog, in a podcast, record videos, maybe start with an open source repository or speak at local user groups. I think there are a lot of ways to showcase what you have learned. And the benefit is that, so you're documenting that means you're learning much better what you're doing. And also you share that with the community, so you're even doing others a favor. So I think that is really, something very valuable to do instead of getting an AWS certification, because no one else really benefits if you get AWS certified, right? So I think those other options are really valuable, and do also showcase your expertise.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think the important part here is that really you should think twice about how you spend your time. So do you invest it into like watching 20 hours of A-Cloud Guru videos and memorizing all the questions? Or do you spend that time on a real project and show your work, basically? So I think you can more or less accomplish significantly more if you just invest this time in doing real work. And you also learn more than by just looking at questions and answers. So.
Yeah, I think it can be something really simple. So you can go to Medium or even Twitter or somewhere and just document your learning process and share your little things that you're learning on the way. I think that's quite helpful, to showcase your expertise. Okay, so this was my second reason. My third one is... I've titled it with Be Unique, Define Your Own Curriculum. So what I mean with that is when you aim for an AWS certification, you follow the learning path defined by Amazon. So at the end, your skill set is not really unique because instead you're learning the same than millions of other IT professionals. So that is basically what comes out of that. It's basically standardizing the way people learn about Amazon Web Services. And of course, that is also, so this gives you some guidance. It's helpful to get started because you know, basically which areas are probably important. But on the other side, it's also, this comes from AWS and they define the learning path. So what you learn it's not really what's best for you, it's what's best for AWS, I would say. So that might match, but it also might not. So you will not learn a lot of things that you might be interested in, for example. So my take on this is when you start your journey with AWS, pick your own focus areas. So start with the areas that you are most interested in. Let's say you are most interested in serverless or machine learning or networking or whatever. And I think it can be really helpful just focus on some areas that are really out of interest for you because either you're already familiar with that from the on-premises world or because it's a technology that you're interested in. And I think that comes with different benefits. One is it's probably a lot more fun. So if you learn only the things that you're interested in and you not have to learn the ones that do not really interest you, it will be a lot more fun. It will be easier to stay motivated. And also you differentiate your skill set. So you will be unique. So let's say you have focused on, let's say, databases and machine learning. There's probably not too many other people that have really specified on those two areas, for example. So I think that is a good reason to not get AWS certified, but to pick your own way of learning. Of course, it's a little bit more effort because you have to you have to find out which areas are out of interest to you. But I think it's worth the effort to go your own way instead of just following the path that AWS has defined.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And maybe you can even be more specific. So for example, instead of focusing on databases, so I think you could, for example, build a career when you focus on Redshift. So it's a single service, but it is, I think it has the thickest documentation. Like if you would print the documentation, that would likely win the prize for the thickest documentation in terms of pages. It's an insane service in terms of capabilities. And I think there are not a lot of people on the planet who really know Redshift from the ins and the outs. And also, if you are, for example, coming from, maybe you can also leverage your background. So maybe you manage Windows workloads on premises. So if you are the one who really understands how to manage Windows workloads on AWS, this will also make you very special because there are not a lot of people who really understand all the details about that and how you can leverage all the features that are available from maybe SSM and stuff like this. So yeah, I think you can be very specific at the beginning and maybe you can also leverage your existing knowledge. And then it also is more fun because if you have to start from zero, then it is harder to learn something new. But if you can build upon your existing knowledge, that might be a good way to kind of keep the motivation high and to make sure that you finish or reach the finish line. Yeah. So that's all I wanted to
Perfect.
Address.
Yeah. Okay. So my next argument for not getting AWS certified is learning by doing, in my opinion, is much more effective than just memorizing answers to multiple choice questions. So maybe let's face it, probably, let's say 90% of the people who prepare for their AWS certification, what do? they go through sample questions, so-called brain dumps with the question and answers from the certifications, and they just try to memorize all of the answers. And it's really, you're memorizing the knowledge, but you're not really applying that knowledge in the real world. And I think, of course, that works. You will get through the certification by doing so, most likely. But I think if you instead choose to solve a real-world problem, I think you will learn much more from that, and also much more that you can really use later in your job, in your career. So a few examples what you could do to get your hands on with AWS. So, for example, you could migrate a website to AWS. Let's say you're just a WordPress, what have you, CMS system, what have you. Migrate that to AWS. Or, for example, if you think about starting a blog, why not setting up your blog on AWS yourself instead of picking one of those platforms? So, for example, use a static site generator or Ghost or WordPress, what have you, to run your own blog on AWS. You will learn a lot by building your own infrastructure on AWS, and it costs you very little, because I think you can probably stay in the free tier for most of that. Or if you're more from a developer side, you could implement a simple serverless application, or simple backend, frontend application that solves a small problem that you have in your day-to-day life, for example. You could just start with a very simple thing, just back up your personal data to S3. So, for example, I have a backup solution on my Mac that backups my data to S3. You can just start with that, because you will already learn about S3, you will learn about identity and access management. You can really learn a lot of such a thing. And there are other examples. Michael, for example, you you did that IoT thing where you did your watering your plants or something like that. So whatever is out of interest to you, pick a small project that really helps you to build something on AWS, because I think you will learn much more from that than just memorizing answers and going through the simplest way to get AWS certified.
Yeah, and I remember a reInvent keynote, I think it was 2 years ago, where one of the large IT consultancies was on stage, and they proudly announced that they will certify thousands of people in the next months. I mean, you can literally imagine how that works. I mean, they will memorize the questions and answers, and then they will have 1,000 people certified, and then they will start working on AWS projects. And I will predict that that's not going to be very well, because they will run into all the pitfalls. It's always better to have real world experience. And I like the ideas that you presented, like the small projects. And this is really, in terms of effort, most of this can be done in maybe half a day, I think, maybe a day. You should be able to see something that is working, and then you can improve if you like, and otherwise you can just go on to the next project.
Yeah, so I think it's important to pick a small scope, a small project for getting started. I know that it's also hard to get started, because there's so much services, so many features, so many things you need to know at the beginning. But I think, just start small, so the scope that you have to learn is also small, and you can manage that. That is probably a good advice. Also, if you're looking for ideas and you are not sure how to get started, write us a message, and we are happy to help you to pick something to get your journey started. Okay, so Michael, the next good reason is my last one, but I think it's also an interesting one. So I've observing. I have looked into the learning materials that AWS provides. And so those learning materials, some of them are free, they're available online. If you do a training from AWS or one of their partners, the learning material comes from AWS. So this is licensed material from AWS. And what I've noticed over the years that AWS is less and less talking about limitations and pitfalls in their learning materials. So from my point of view, and I know maybe the Germans are a little bit special on that. But from my point of view, a lot of the learning materials really look like marketing materials. So I think the content feels very marketing style to me, and not very technical. And what I think is the problem with that, so if you focus on that, so focus on the content that AWS and their partners provide, I think the problem is that you're not really learning about the cutting edges or the rough edges of the cloud. But I think that's exactly the expertise that distinguish between success and failure in the real world. So I think it's really important to learn about the limitations. So let's say you have to know about the limitations of, EBS snapshot restores, or the limitations of S3, or the maximum throughput, of an SNS topic, what have you. So I think it's important to know about the pitfalls and limitations, and AWS does not really talk about those too much. So that is why my advice is find independence to learn from, and maybe do not focus too much on what AWS and their partners provide as learning materials. So we have a list of such independents that provide learning materials. For example, there's AppSync Masterclass by Jan. So this is if you want to get started with serverless. There's, for example, the DynamoDB book by Alex, or there is The Good Parts of AWS by Daniel, and also our offering Cloud Plus, and also Cloud on Audit itself is such learning materials that is looking a little bit behind the curtains, and also looking at really the limitations and what you need to know when running those services in production, because sooner or later you will hit those limitations, and then it's better to know up front than waking up in a in an emergency call. So that is my last reason. So getting AWS certified is, in my opinion, focusing a little bit too much on the really best side of AWS, but I think it's important to learn about the pitfalls as well.
Yeah, that is a very good advice, Andreas. And I have one, maybe this is kind of a real world story that was made public recently about such a pitfall. So there was a severe downtime of Slack at the beginning of the year, basically the first working day in the United States, and Slack was down. And there were a couple of reasons, but one of the reasons was that they transitioned to Transit Gateway over the last year. And this was the first time they were on the first working day, they have lots of reminders. And I mean, it's like you can ask to remind you about something, and lots of things like that were going on at exactly the same time at the first working day in the US. And then Slack was more or less down, because turns out the Transit Gateway does not scale infinitely, and it is kind of a bottleneck, and it needs time to scale up. And in this situation for Slack, it didn't scale up very well. So it took them many hours, and AWS was working kind of manually to fix that for them. So they worked together with AWS to fix the problem, because they had lots of packet drops and things like that because of Transit Gateway. I have never read such a limitation on the Transit Gateway documentation. So this was mind-blowing for me, because I was expecting that Transit Gateway does not add significant overhead onto my what I usually am expecting from a VPC. So that's very interesting. And those are the information pieces that are important. So if you know such a thing, then you can imagine that there could be a problem like that. And if something like this happens, you have an idea of what could be the problem. Because if you would only follow AWS material, they would never tell you that this actually could become a problem. And so that's why it is so important to also get some insights from other people who actually use the product and run into the problems and share them with the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So maybe let me summarize what we have been talking about. So my five good reasons to not get AWS certified. So I think for sure there are some good reasons to get AWS certified, and some of you may be also be kind of forced to do so because for example, consulting partners need to get AWS certified and stuff like that. But I think there it's important to think about the reasons for not getting AWS certified as well. So for me, the most important one is the one that I started with. I think this is really a race to the bottom because so many people will get AWS certified this is no longer distinguish you from the others. So I think this is true on a personal level, so as an employee or as a freelancer, but it also will be true for the consulting partners, because at the end there will be thousands and hundreds of thousands of consulting partners with hundreds of certified consultants. So what's really the difference then? So I think it's going away, to this distinguishing goes away. So my advice is really go on your own journey, find your own areas that you want to focus on, that you want to learn about, share your experience and your learnings on the way. So document what you know for the outside world. So many ways, blogs, open source, videos, podcasts, so many possibilities, talking at local meetups, stuff like that. So really go on your own journey. I think this is really my advice. Maybe do not follow the other 30 million people, but pick your own way into the cloud.
Yeah, great, Andreas. Thanks for sharing your opinion and also your ideas here. Before you leave, please review our podcast, for example, on Apple Podcast. You can also share this episode with your friends, because learning something new about AWS is always fun, right? Your feedback helps to improve the podcast. You can reach us via Twitter or email. You will find the details in the show notes. So we are back in a month. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.